Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello everybody, welcome to the Red Men TV. It's the instant match reaction after Liverpool drew 1-1 away at West Ham on the Sky Sports Monday Night Football. I'm joined by Ross. It's 2 points dropped, isn't it, Ross? Another 2 points. Do you want to just sum up how you feel? I mean, I've written down on the agenda that it was just shit, but you know, if you want to elaborate on that at all, you go for it.
Yeah, I think I've been quite hesitant at times to criticise this team. No, because I don't want to be someone that's the bandwagon of Twitter that's everything's negative. But like even before the game started, people questioned Lallana, who I didn't think was that great. But given the option that we've got off the bench, and there was no Gini, there was no Henderson, we missed Gini a lot. But this is the second game on the run now where you think penetration, motivation, and just some sort of like kick up the arse, you're not performing very well. Yeah. And it doesn't seem to be anyone that's kind of taking that lead role. It's kind of, it's not even rushed. I just think that's part of the problem. It's like, I don't know, I can't explain it. We've gone from free-flowing football. I know it happens sometimes when you take two or three players out when the rhythm and stuff's not there, but we've got some key quality players in there, and it's like they just look lost.
I think you touched upon something there. I think I genuinely do think with each game that passes by where we don't have Gini Wijnaldum,
yeah,
we're being shown how much of a key player he is. Because I mentioned before the Leicester game when we did the team news, Wijnaldum, the way he holds up the ball, the way he moves the ball along, he's actually what I thought Keita would be. And at the moment, I mean, maybe lacking a few goals, Wijnaldum still, but that's not necessarily his job. At the moment, we're not getting that when he's on the pitch. You know, Henderson does a different game with the tackling and stuff, but the way Wijnaldum has the ball, and so it leaves us controlling the midfield. And the last few games, I mean, tonight and against Leicester, I don't feel like we have. And particularly tonight, I thought we just didn't seem to offer a lot.
No,
going forward in midfield.
No. I think that's partly with getting on Gini Wijnaldum. He allows Fabinho to play his best football as well, I think, because he sometimes is allowed to go forward a little bit more, knowing that Gini's behind him. And then Fabinho was on his own, and we saw the first couple of performances he put in for Liverpool. He was kind of lost, and he was out of his depth, and there's people passing him by. It's because Naby Keita was in front of him, particularly in the first half, and kind of left him to his own devices. And again, people were just going past him. But that's something that you need to kind of adapt to when you're playing these teams. The other thing that I thought was missing as well, which West Ham seemed to have, and even Leicester when we played them last week, was I'm not questioning the desire, but I want a bit of fight, a bit of needle about this team, especially when you're fighting for a title. I know it's different when we're sat watching the game, and you're kind of getting passionate, you're kind of getting a bit of angry, but show people that you want to win the fucking ball for a start. I don't know if you have to go around and literally go and kick people, but have a bit of like character about you to go, actually, you know, fucking, I'm having this fucking ball. Because there's plenty of times tonight, Naby Keita in particular, I'm not gonna dig him out, but he was getting pushed off the ball for his head. And I know he's little, I know he's dainty and stuff, but like when we analysed him before he came in, I thought he was the person that was a bit of a bastard and had a bit of needle about him, which we lacked last season.
Yeah,
and I thought he was going to win that too. Whereas it's actually Fabinho and Van Dijk have been doing it, and Andy Robertson in games. And we've just been stifled by teams, but aren't showing like that aggression or that initiative to go and try and do something else.
Well, let's delve into the sort of the story of the game then. So West Ham started quite brightly. I think, you know, they had a few chances early on. You know, Alisson makes a save. Cresswell fires one wide, I think. and you know they seem to be on top, and then we score, and you think, okay, you know we've done well there, you know, to take the lead against the run of play, and then the free kicks start. They had. Well, I mean, we're giving away far too many free kicks, if you ask me, in the first half anyway. But the creative West Ham got pretty creative with the free kicks. And look, fair enough, we were playing a high line, they knew we were going to play a high line, and they were able to exploit that, and obviously that's where the first goal comes from. It's a brilliant finish from Antonio, you know, a very clever reverse run, does well to time it, so that he's onside, and then he drags it across, and, you know, Alisson's got no chance really, Keita's being blocked off by Noble, so, you know, it's clearly all planned. They were just very intelligent with the runs. You know, they had another one not long after that where I think it's Ogbonna sort of coming in from behind, free kick being as well. That was the third one. So, you know, they could have had, well, I mean, the Rice one, he should have scored. They possibly should have been 2-1 up at half time. They knew, again, like you say, they'd done the homework, they knew how to get us, and we were lucky really to go in at 1-1. And then the second half, I mean. The Virgil one where he goes through and it kind of falls to him in the box after a free kick, I think. But I can't think of... I mean, the Origi one right off the end. But I can't think of too many chances that we really created where, really, we could have genuinely won the game 2-1. Salah had a half chance, but correct me if I'm wrong, but it felt like we'd run out of ideas at one point.
Yeah, that's what I mean of going... You know, we should be used to... team setting up, as I know I joked about it before me watching the game, of doing a 4-6 formation or whatever, but we just don't seem to have like runners in deep that are going in behind it. They were doing it with set pieces, obviously done the homework and worked us out, so you can have three people that are offside. I know you pointed out during the game that Rice was the one who's coming in from deep and getting onto the ball. Well, we need to start doing that when we're playing. See, I know it's a risk when you've got a gamble go putting people forward, but if Mo Salah's got two people on him, Firmino's got two people on him, and Mane's got two people, you need to have that extra commitment or take that gamble somewhere, because you're not going to get a chance for anywhere else. We don't really have anyone. Let's like a Gerard Alonso or even Chamberlain that can go and twat one from 25, 30 yards in our team. There's just no one in there that can go and do that.
It's not anybody's locker, is it?
And it's our style of play, just have pot shots left, right and centre. No, Andy Robertson may have had one when he got through, got a pass.
Got a bit excited.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, maybe it's even like decision making at some point. And I don't know. I don't think it's anything to do with the pressure on the title, to be honest with you. I think that's just, it's in-game management, and it's not coming off. And again, that's saying, you know, I'm not saying Naby Keita's unsettled the team, but you're trying to compensate for someone else who's got a different style of play or hasn't been in that system or rhythm that Gini Wijnaldum's been in. You know where you are, you know where you're at. With Gini or Henderson in there, I was playing two in a deep midfield, but then against the West Ham team that were resilient, did the homework, and I thought they fought for it more.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Look, we don't want to make too many excuses, I suppose, but obviously one of the big things tonight is that we were missing a lot of players. Mm-hmm. One of those is obviously, you know, at the back, Joe Gomez and Trent have been out for a while now, and we saw Milner there at right back again tonight. Again, I thought he struggled because he just doesn't have the pace. He's even lost a yard of pace, it looks like, from when he was playing left back 2 years ago, because obviously that's just what happens. You know, you know he's a couple of years older. I don't know exactly how old he is now, but you know he's early 30s, isn't he? So he's definitely gonna, you know, it's to be expected to lose that yard of pace. And Felipe Anderson, I mean, for some reason he was voted West Ham's man of the match as he came off. I don't think he was that good, but he definitely caused him a few problems by, you know, getting him in behind. Cresswell did the same, overlapping. There were quite a few balls, there were quite a few moments where all of us were a bit like, well, where is James Milner? You know, it just feels like there's a bit more of the old Liverpool in the mix, because we're using rotated players, and my point is really just the very simple of, we need Trent and Gomez back as soon as possible. And you know what, Gomez has had surgery today, and I know it's going to be a little while, but it's glaringly obvious that we aren't going to be quite the same side that we've seen before Christmas until both of those players return.
Yeah, and it's an obvious target for oppositions as well, because absolutely, like Leicester did it, and you think of any weak point of Andy Robertson's. Even when he's having a bad day, he's still pretty good, isn't he? And then you look at James Milner, you've got Anderson with pace. All you've got to do is to give the ball to him. And even with Milner's bombing forward, that's one of Trent's best bits. It's like he can get up and down that wing. But that's one of our outlets, he's saying, have the overlap and have someone. Well, he scored a few goals, Milner, set up someone the other week, didn't he? You know, going around the back and then cutting it back in. But that wasn't coming off, and then he leaves himself open. But then, you know, if you've got that two deep in the field, well, you've got Gini covering one side and Fabinho going on the other side, but you can't when it's just Fabinho. He can't be everywhere in the pitch. And that's the reason why Shaqiri hasn't started, because Klopp doesn't like his defensive play sometimes. He's not all switched on to go and doing it. And I think we're expecting a lot from Milner. But again, like you said, it's the best of bad situation when you've got so many injuries.
Which is why
some people are pissed off we didn't go in the market and go and get a
well,
right
I mean,
back,
then... again, there'll be more questions asked about Nathaniel Clyne. You know, I wasn't too bothered at the time, but obviously that was before, I think it was before Trent got injured that he was loaned out. Correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know. But I think it was around the 12th, 13th of January that Trent got injured, that Brighton game. So at the time, I wasn't too bothered when Clyne went out, but because I reckon he was probably asking to go as well, you know, given the game time he was getting. But at the end of the day, now with the glorious gift of hindsight, I suppose, if you're Jurgen Klopp, you actually need to be saying to him, look, you contracted this club, we're in a title race, we need the squad depth, you need to be staying in until the summer and we move you on.
Or just wait till the end of January.
Yeah. Yeah.
As in, if it gets to the last day of January, maybe, and then go, see, you know, again, hindsight's a wonderful thing, but... I said the same thing when we spoke about other shows before, about, you know, even like the likes of Origi, keep him. Be selfish and go, well, okay, not the best example today, but if you're 2-3 up in a game, you want to give Bobby rest, take him off.
Well, I don't actually think Origi was too bad today. I've actually written down, I actually thought Origi offered more than Firmino when he came on. Yeah. I don't know if that's an unpopular opinion. I mean, we're not in a room with too many people, but, you know, I feel like Firmino's passing... It was lackadaisical. He seemed unfocused. Another one, you know, Salah was quiet, but the bits he did okay. When Firmino was actually on the ball, I mean, I'd love to see his pass completion rate, because it was just always just lazy, or, you know, 5 yards off. I don't know. It just felt off target.
Frustrating.
Unorientated.
Yeah, frustrating was how I'd sum that whole game up, to be honest, because when you get into the final third, and you're thinking it's fine lines, it's margins, but then that's when you want that quality to kind of create something. And normally you look for Firmino to go and do that. It was like a little trick or flick and something. Yeah. He's normally always on it. And again, I thought today when Shaqiri was coming off, I thought he could easily take Firmino off here, because he just wasn't performing. But then sometimes you rely on, if Firmino's not on it, Salah have a good game, or Mane have a good game. It's never like kind of all three of them. But then... again, teams are playing a 4-6 formation, defending resiliently, and sometimes you have to give them credit, isn't it? As annoying as it is. West Ham defended well.
No, they did. West Ham were very good today.
We should have the quality to go and turn them over.
No. Especially with the side we put out, you know. And this is the thing. Leicester did the same, and it'll be frustrating, because West Ham will go out and play another big side, you know, where I'm sure they've got to play City again, and they'll just roll out. You know, Leicester did the same at the weekend with Man United, they just rolled over. But when you're in a title race, you've got to expect teams to be stubborn. And
that's what I'm talking about, that needle and aggression, the thing that we lacked. And you said, like, you know, lackadaisical, not concentrated, and it was kind of huffed on, puffed away to the end of the game. It wasn't, you know, again, you've got to win stuff.
I'm not sure. I mean, I'm just trying to think, no. And we've not got any Liverpool fans in the side. And I think that might be a difference, you know, tonight. You know, if you have Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain in there, who's got an extra little connection to the club.
Oh, yeah, or Trent.
You know what I mean? Or Trent. I think that could make a difference. But I think, you know, I know, I'm not saying that they didn't put everything in. But I feel like, you know, if you summon that Oxlade-Chamberlain, you give 102%, 103% rather than just 100%, and I feel like we lacked any players tonight who were going to put in 103% rather than just 100%. You know, it leaves us 3 points clear of Man City. They're going to go a game ahead of us on Wednesday when they go to Everton. Check out the clip from the Around the League podcast. We're going to talk about to Baz from Toffee TV about that today on the Around the League. Me and Ross. Sorry, it's getting late.
It's past your bedtime.
It's well past my bedtime. So you know, check out that video. So look, we're going to expect Everton to lose there. So come Wednesday night, City are going to be top of the league on goal difference, but we've got a game in hand now. For me, the encouraging thing here is that this is our first real dip. I think this is the first time that we dropped points consecutively all season. Mm-hmm. City had their dip and they were losing games. We're drawing. So for me, that's what I'm taking at the moment. Even though we're having a dip, we can just... even if we go and draw, I mean, I would expect us to beat Bournemouth at home on Saturday, and then we've got a nice break until Bayern. But as long as the games that we're not winning, I know it sounds daft, but as long as we're still picking up points, the odd point here and there may still be key when it comes to make. There's still 13 games to go.
Yeah, there is a long way to go in this thing. That's probably the other frustrating thing about tonight. It was dropping points at Leicester and looking for some sort of reaction from the players.
That's very true.
And for me, just didn't feel like that.
Didn't feel like that at all.
But I know you take your point of going saying, yeah, one point's better than none, I suppose, isn't it? Which is fine.
If you win the league by a couple of points at the end of the season, you go, well, you know, we easily could have lost that West Ham game to Declan Rice's header. We easily could have, you know, Demarai Gray has a late chance at Leicester. Well. You know, and City have lost to Leicester. They've lost to Newcastle. You know what I mean?
And frustration at the overall riding word, isn't it?
Because it is.
City dropped points at Newcastle, and you're thinking, right, we can overtake there. But you've looked before Christmas. We were far behind City and managed to open up that gap. Well, what's to say it doesn't happen another 2-3 times between now and the end of the season?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's feasible, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And we've got a long way to go. And we've just got to ride it out, as they say.
I think I might be 40 by the end of the season.
No, yeah. I mean, so will I. I'll catch up to you. We'll wrap it up there. Yeah. Thanks for watching. Those who have, I've been Ben Kelly. This has been Ross Chanley for the Redmen TV and the Instant Match Reaction. We will be back. Well, somebody will be back after Bournemouth for the Instant Match Reaction there. And we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.